Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Good morning, good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful show in store for you today. I got a fascinating guest who I'm looking to bring on in just a moment. But of course, we start off, as we always do, with our blog post from a couple of years ago, just kind of taking these in order. And so let's get into this because I really want to bring her on quickly. Today's blog post is entitled, "When We Are Present to Our Intention, Opportunities Abound." There is always opportunity around us. May not seem like it at times, or it may seem like there are too many opportunities, yet neither is really the case. When we are not seeing much opportunity, it can be because we don't have the eyes to see it. We are so focused on our own scarcity that we can't imagine a different way of doing something, such as when we get laid off and we feel there are no jobs for people with our skills. Perhaps there are other kinds of jobs we can do. Maybe we can find a way to start a business instead of looking for another job. Even when times are bad and the economy is depressed, there are still people who make money. We just have to look at our situation with different eyes to see where the opportunity might lie. If we are experiencing the opposite challenge, where there's too much opportunity is coming our way, then we were also not seeing things clearly. For opportunity is only real opportunity if it truly aligns and resonates with us and what we are doing. Otherwise, it is a distraction. For in order for us to truly thrive, we must have one overarching intention for our life. That one intention may have many different arms, yet they will all be related in some way. Not in a way that you have to contort your thinking to make them all align. Not in a way, but in a way that comes naturally, organically, that anyone outside of you can see. For when our eyes are clear and we are aligned with our intention, it is obvious to everyone. For opportunity is not really about making money. Opportunity is about expressing ourselves through our work. It is about bringing our focus and our presence to a situation and finding a way to be of service. So if we do not see enough opportunity, perhaps we are not being truly present to the opportunities in front of us to be in service. If we see too much opportunity in front of us, perhaps we are not being truly present to our intention of how we wish to be in service. Either way, opportunity abounds. So how do you feel about opportunity? Do you have too much, too little, or just the right amount? So I wrote this blog post a couple of years ago because it kind of came to me. I'm the kind of person, I see opportunity everywhere. I learn about something. It's like, oh, that's fascinating. That's something good. That's something you can make money at. Oh, there's another thing. Oh, there's another thing. Scroll. So I get easily distracted. And that's what kind of happened to me a couple of years ago, where I kind of took my eyes off my core business because I saw opportunity in another place. And what happens when we do that is that our core business suffers because of it. And that's what happened. But then I realized that the opposite is true too, that this phenomenon of seeing either too much opportunity or too little opportunity is actually very related. Because when we see too much or too little, it means that we're not really paying attention to what's ultimately in alignment with our core, what really makes our heart sing. Because when we're really connected to what just makes our whole body feel alive when we're engaged with it, then suddenly all of these extraneous opportunities don't seem like opportunities at all, because they're kind of taking us away from that core. And when we feel like we don't have enough opportunity in our life, then when we focus on our core, then it's like, oh, but I can do this or I can do that. And especially in the world today, and there's a lot of disruption going on. There's a lot of changes happening in the business landscape. And especially like after the pandemic, I mean, whole industries got disrupted because of the pandemic and new industries took off. So if we stay kind of stuck in the way things were in the past, and we just bemoan, it used to be like this, it used to be so easy, why is it so hard now? Then we're not really seeing how things have changed. We're not seeing the new opportunity. But it's also, to be a little careful that, yeah, there's lots of new opportunity. You could go out and learn how to be an AI prompt engineer if you want. But is that really something that thrills you? Now, for some people, it will, and that's great, and they should totally lean into it. But for other people, maybe it's not about that. Maybe what calls to them is being a yoga instructor or a nutritionist or doing something in daycare. I mean, there are so many different opportunities out there. It's just about paying attention to how we want to be in service and where there are needs today, in today's environment. So life is always changing, and opportunities are always abounding, but it's finding the right opportunities that speak to us. And it's so funny, because I just spoke to somebody earlier this week who just got laid off from their position like a couple of months ago. And they were like, I'm taking this opportunity to start a coaching business and see if I can really, make a living at it. I'm like, congratulations. Because I just know when someone gets laid off from a job, it means you're supposed to leave there and you just didn't want to leave. And the universe is kind of kicking you out and saying, okay, it's time for you to go on to the next thing. So I know it can be tough when you're used to a steady paycheck and suddenly, it's very unsteady. I know when you have responsibilities, especially, it can be very disconcerting. And if we can learn to sort of take some of that pressure off of ourselves, then we can open up and we can see and be more creative with what's around us. There's no shortage of opportunity. There's only a shortage of imagination. So I hope this helps. I don't know if this speaks to you or not, but this is my blog post. Again, I've just taken them in order. And the title of this one again was When We Are Present to Our Intention, Opportunities Abound. And you can always find my blog at talkradio.nyc/blog, as well as on my personal branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com. And I hope you enjoyed it. And now it is my pleasure to welcome to the show international transformational speaker, writer, and healer, Karen Chung. Karen has worked with thousands of people worldwide as a champion for self-empowerment. After a health crisis in her early 20s catalyzed her spiritual journey, she was driven by curiosity to explore the mystical and energetic systems that govern our experience of ourselves, of others, and of life itself. For over 25 years, she has integrated and applied deep inner work and learnings from some of the top names in the personal development space, as well as some of the more esoteric spiritual teachers, to her successful real estate business in San Francisco. So she's not only spiritual, she's grounded too. Despite Karen's outwardly successful life, she felt a void within. That's when she discovered frequency work, a practice that helped her release unconscious blocks and transform her life. Through this process, she experienced a profound ego death during a 9-hour meditation. Ooh, 9 hours. Reconnecting with the interconnectedness of all things. This pivotal experience enabled her to perceive and affect change at the frequency level, the underlying vibration which shapes our reality. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Karen. Oh, can't hear
So
you.
excited to be here.
Ah, there you are. Your
All
volume's a
right,
little
thank you.
low, so it's
Here I am
consistent.
again. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show, Sam. I'm
Oh,
really
you're quite
excited to be here.
welcome. You're quite welcome. Though I'm just going to ask if there's a way for you to boost your volume a little bit. You're a little bit low on the volume.
Okay, how's that?
That's better. There you go. Just
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
speak up. So, Karen, I'm curious. I've had many people on my show who their spiritual journey sort of got started because of some crisis in their life. But I'm just curious, like before that point, did you have any leanings towards sort of, mystical stuff? Was there anything unusual or unexplainable in your life? Or was this really something that just like was like just out of the blue kind of transformed for you?
Oh, well, I would say that I was a very normal kid. So I had intuition, but I didn't really know what it was, and I didn't I could perceive certain things, but I was told it was my imagination, so I just thought it was my imagination. And then when my health crisis happened, I had this really severely debilitating eczema that was everywhere all over my body. It kept me from sleeping because I was up all night scratching. That was the crisis that started my spiritual journey. And I think many people who come to see me also aren't necessarily looking for a spiritual journey. They're looking to resolve something horrible that's happening in their lives, and they're kind of like taken to their knees by life, and they think to themselves, "I need another way." And for me, that's what happened. So because I was so sick, I had to find another way. And at that point, I actually was living in New York City, which I think is your hometown,
Yes.
and loved it. And I needed to actually take myself, or at least my husband at the time, because I wasn't able to. I hadn't been sleeping for months, and was, at this point, degrading emotionally really severely. And so he was just like, "Okay, there's an acupuncturist who saved your aunt from cancer. He lives in the prairies in Canada. We're sending you to him because I don't know what else to do, because it seems very likely that you're probably going to kill yourself." And he was right, and he was really terrified. And so off I went. And in 5 weeks, I went from this very suicidal hot mess to pretty much what I look like now. And I thought to myself, how is this possible that in 5 weeks I've gone from that to this? What else is there beyond the physical that I can't see that governs all of this? And so that was the prompting for my journey. You know, we all sort of start whenever we start. And then, you know, post that time, that question remained, like, what is in the unseen that creates what we think is solid and real? And that's what prompted my exploration, you know, into not only personal development, which is like a very traditional sort of forum that most people go into, but also, you know, these more esoteric spiritual practices. And because I am who I am, I'm always the type of person who likes to see how things work. So I'm not just going to learn it. I kind of want to see if it's going to change anything. Because I just spent all this money doing that. So let's see if I can actually change the way my life is or how I feel about it. And in our real estate practice, it was like the perfect form to do that because it was our practice. So I would just implement like a madwoman. And it was, and I would watch what happened. But what happened in the real estate practice is that even though we were doing outwardly really well, like if you looked at our lives, we were doing amazing. We had a referral-based business. We're in the top 1% of producers in San Francisco. We had a lot of money in our bank account. We had clients who loved us. We're in a very, you know, Chris and I have been married for like 30 years now, happily so. So, you know, everything on the outside looks like glorious and amazing. But for me, what was happening was I just kept hitting this wall of scarcity. And it didn't matter how much we had in our bank account because we had a lot in there. I just felt like I had not enough all the time. And so I would just drive our team into overproduction and myself. And then finally I asked, you know, what else am I missing? And so that is when it's funny how the universe answers. Yeah. Because after a pivotal journey, what happened was I found frequency work, and that's when everything changed.
Cool. All right, let's hold it there for a moment. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm curious about what sort of drove that scarcity consciousness, and then like how you found the frequency work, and like how did that shift for you? Because I think that's something that's very common. And, you know, I totally relate to your story because I always say, I'm a nice Jewish boy from the Bronx. I'm a really normal guy. You know, I how did I get into all this crazy stuff? Well, you know, life just tends to lead us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Excellent, Karen. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. We're on Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube and Twitter and Twitch. And we will be right back with my guest, Karen Chung, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Karen Chung, a healer, a transformational speaker, and someone with a very fascinating story. So, Karen, you were talking about how you were sort of applying stuff to your real estate business when you noticed mm-hmm. it was this sort of scarcity modality that you were stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
What, I mean, you were already successful. So what was causing that scarcity energy around you?
Yeah. So I'm of Chinese descent. So, you know, you said you're a nice Jewish boy from the Bronx. We have things in common.
A lot of my wife is Chinese, though. Yes.
Well, there you go. So, you know, yeah. So, you know, within a lot of Asian cultures, scarcity patterns are really rife. And I didn't know this at the time. I do now. But for me, everything is vibrating, as your audience knows, since they're listening to you. And there are things that I call distortion patterns, which exist at the level of frequency, which block you from having a different experience because they hold you at a certain level of vibration or a certain level of resonance. So you kind of always hit the same wall, you know what I mean? So it doesn't really matter how well you're doing. It's like you hit a ceiling, you know what I mean? So whether it's a relationship and you're looking for like the right person, but you always end up with the same kind of jerk. Yeah. Even though it's like a different kind of person, it's like, and all your friends are like, what's happening? You're such a nice person. You're attractive. You're successful. But you always end up with this kind of person. It's because you're running these distortion patterns that are keeping you from experiencing something different, right? So you are experiencing that. And so for me, my distortion patterns that were really strong through my lineage had to do with scarcity and fear. Those were my biggest challenges. So it didn't really matter what was around me in terms of... like what was in my bank account, the house we lived in, because those were very present for me, it was as if I had nothing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So even though like the outer reality looked like something, I felt internally like we didn't have enough or that it was going to go away very quickly or that we needed to save, you know, for, you know, years in advance and that type of thing. You know, like our cushion was never big enough for me, right. Because I ran this fear pattern that, I don't know, something terrible was going to happen and all our money would somehow like evaporate. I don't know exactly what the thinking was. It wasn't rational. It was just, you know, an emotion. And that was because of these distortion patterns that I was running. And it was only when I cleared them that I started to not freak out all the time. So my tell, like this is what I used to do behaviorally, mm-hmm. is I used to spreadsheet all the time. And what I would do is I would spreadsheet our cushion. It's like this thing I would do obsessively, right? So it would always be up on my screen somewhere. And then I would check it out and make sure that we were doing okay and all that sort of stuff. But we never, it didn't matter how much cushion we had. It never felt like we quite had enough. And then so what happened, though, what was amazing is as I released my distortion patterns through frequency work, I stopped spreadsheeting. But I didn't even really notice it because what happens is you just become a higher vibrating version of yourself. And so as a result, what you feel and what you think and what you do changes because who you are changes. And I remember one day my husband, Chris, said to me, have you noticed that you haven't spreadsheeted for like weeks? And I said, oh, my God, you're right. Like I didn't even notice that I'd stopped that behavior. I felt better, but I didn't really notice that one particular thing. And I thought that was amazing. And so that was just the beginning, really, of this journey. And so...
did you discover the frequency work that helped you to unwind that?
Yeah. So it was, I had, so we're going to go into woo-woo land here a little, but I think your listeners are used to it.
Yeah, so, we're able to do that. As long as there's a thread holding the kite, we can fly.
Okay, exactly. I think I can do that. So essentially what had happened is that I had received an image from a friend who happened to be French, and she said, hey, there's these sacred pools that a friend of mine just sent me, and for some reason I thought of you. And this is a person I hadn't talked to in a couple months. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't know why I thought of you, but I'm just emailing this to you. If it doesn't resonate with you, it doesn't matter to me. I just thought of you, so I'm sending them to you. And as soon as I was like, okay, great. So I open, you know, I'm in the middle of my workday and I open this email. And then in the image are these pools in the middle of southern France. I didn't even know where they were. and in this tiny village. And as soon as I saw it, I felt all this tingling happening up my spine, and I knew that I had to go. I didn't know why I had to go, Sam. I just knew I had to go. So off I went. So let's just say I fast forward through that journey, which I had my own exploration of, you know, at this point, certain mystical experiences, which allowed me to enter my heart space more and to refine my understanding of manifestation. This is just my own personal journey. I didn't go to an event. I didn't do anything. I just went on my personal journey. Mm-hmm. And then when I came home, I went to go see my acupuncturist. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the acupuncture session, I was getting up off the bed. And she said to me, "Hey, you know, I've been thinking about you because I've learned about this new thing." And I was like, "Okay." And she said, "Have you ever heard of frequency work?" And when she said those words, I was turning, actually, when she said that to me, because I was turning to leave. Mm-hmm. And it was like time slowed down. And I remember, like, it was like I could see, it was like The Matrix, really. And you know the movie where it's like everything kind of goes into slow motion? Yeah, it kind of felt like that.
They call it bullet time, you know?
It's yeah. Like, oh, is that what it is?
Yes, bullet time. Yeah.
Bullet time. Okay, I didn't know that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's what it felt like, except there were, you know, sounds, bullets, and just, you know, me turning around. But it felt very important. And I knew immediately that I had to know what this was. And so when I started it, I didn't actually feel that much. I was like, okay. But at the end of when I experienced it the first time, I was like, okay, well, I didn't feel anything, but I know something has changed. So I just followed that knowingness. And it became this thing where I would listen to it and I could feel that somehow things were changing. And I didn't need to understand how exactly. I just knew that they were. And I started to do more of it because I started to feel this sort of like internal acceleration. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what I was perceiving at the time, I didn't know this then, but I do now, is that my vibration rate was really starting to rise very quickly. And I was starting to cast off these lineage distortion patterns that had held me in a certain resonance for so long, even though I kept trying to like pop above that resonance level. And so my world started to change just in terms of how I, first, how I felt, which was the most important thing at the time, because again, the outer shell of my life looked pretty fabulous, but how I felt internally was pretty horrible. And so that's what started to change in a way that was faster and more complete than anything I tried before.
Wow. Wow. Cool. So really sort of almost guided by the life or by the universe kind of taking you around this way, which is what I say all the time about my own personal path. You know, the universe kind of nudged me back onto the spiritual path. I was not looking for this.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to feel better.
Right.
I was just like, get me out of this.
Yes, and that's the way a lot of people kind of get on this path is you know, we just want to feel better. We're just struggling. We're in pain or dealing with some trauma or something, and we just want to feel better. And then in the process of finding that thing that makes us feel better, it opens us up to a much bigger world, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Now, when you started to find this frequency work and work with it, and while you were going through all this stuff, what was your family thinking of all this? What were your friends like? I mean, were people supportive because they saw the positive change in you? Or were they like, "Oh, we think Karen's lost it. She's off the deep end now."
Right. So, like I said, I had been before then on a seeking path for about like 20 plus years, right? So they're kind of used to me doing weird stuff. So that was a good thing. And what I'll say is, luckily, my husband Chris and I, you know, worked together, and he was kind of like, "What are you doing over there?" I'm like, "I'm not really sure." But everything started to change and I started to feel better. And my business part, like, so it was the two of us in our practice and then a business partner. And I said, "I really think you guys should give it a try and see how it is for you." We're lucky in that we don't really force each other to do anything, but it's like, "Hey, this is really making a big change for me." And because I was feeling so much better and they felt me being different, right? I wasn't so stressed out. I wasn't always pushing them. They're like, "What are you doing over there?" And so they gave it a try and it was pretty awesome, actually. And so for me, I have been on such a, I'm a growth-oriented person. I like it. It's interesting to me. Like, my main purpose is to understand the mystery. That was what it was before I found frequency work. So I was just like, well, I just want to understand what that is. And luckily, I had close to me people who were also curious about the mystery. So I was supportive. And then, you know, it's funny because supported by them and my parents, and my dad at the time was like 80-something, and my mother was in her mid-70s. there was so much change happening within us, meaning myself and Chris, they're like, what are you doing? So, you know, at that age, they came on the frequency work train too. And this is even before my abilities came in, right? I was just doing it to feel better. Mm-hmm. And so that was amazing. And so, it just creates a profound shift in a lot of things, from worry, anxiety, scarcity, to just feeling much more of that expansiveness of life. And as you said, the opportunity, you know, so you mentioned your blog post about opportunity. And so what happened was opportunity started to knock in ways that I didn't imagine. So I didn't expect those things. They just showed up for me in increasing ways, be it small or large. And life really, and I know this sounds a little cliche, started to become more magical, because when that synchronicity happens and when that flow kind of starts to happen, for me, who had been so, you know, controlling before, because, you know, I'm a successful businesswoman. So I was just like, that's how I get there. I control things. But what started to happen is that started to unravel. And I found this way that was so much more pleasurable and so much more magical and so much more abundant, actually. So that was pretty awesome.
cool. So I do want to get into sort of your experience and then sort of what happened, and then, you know, how you really kind of dove in with both feet into this world and started actually not just using it for yourself, but helping other people with it. We got to take our next break. So when we come back, let's talk about this 9-hour meditation you did and what you experienced and then sort of, you know, what evolved from that. Okay.
Sounds great.
Awesome. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back with our guest, Karen Chung, in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So, Karen, so you come back, you're feeling better, you're doing better in your business, your family's seeing all this change in you. Mm-hmm. What happened? What was this experience you had that kind of blew the doors off everything?
Yeah. So, I'm kind of an intense person, right, just generally speaking. And I was just like, well, I have a problem. I'd like to solve it. So I just like to release as many distortion patterns as possible so that I can feel better. So I'm kind of intensive that way. And because that was my focus, I just been like clearing all these different patterns. And I was on my way to a meditation retreat that was given in Sedona. And it was a long one. So it was a 12-day meditation retreat. And so for me to take 12 days out of our business where I am not contactable was near impossible at the time, or at least I felt like it was. It's not necessarily true, but that's how I felt, like a lot of business owners, I think. And but I knew that I had to go to this retreat. And I knew that I had to go because I was nervous about it. So meaning like I knew enough about myself that I knew that the more I resisted it, sometimes as we got closer, that actually is an indication that I really need to go. Okay. So I didn't listen to there's this client that's come up or this has to happen, or do you really need to take the 12 days and all that stuff? And who is this teacher? I didn't even really know the teacher that well. I just knew I had to go. So off I went to Sedona. And then when I went to the classroom for the first time where it was being taught or in the retreat center, I knew immediately because I had cleared enough of my own patterns and I had my own sort of sense of things that the field that I was in was energetically unstable. And I was like, okay, there's a lot of ego mind in this room and a lot of distortion, and I don't think we're going to be able to do what this teacher is telling us. So I sat in for the first class and I was like, yeah, no, pretty sure that's not going to happen. And so I knew that I had to go meditate on my own. Which is kind of a strange thing to do because I'm Chinese and I've just thrown down, you know, a couple grand for this thing. And all my grandmothers were like, are you insane that you're not going to the class, right? That you paid all this money for and take notes like a good student, right? And so I did something very unusual and was not a very good Chinese student, and I bailed on the retreat. And I went into meditation on my own. And
did you stay there in Sedona when you did this?
I did stay in Sedona. Yeah. Cause I was like, okay, well, I'm here. I have 12 days. Everyone thinks I'm offline. So I'm just going to use this time because I'm here for some reason that I don't need to understand. The invitation was the retreat, but that's not what I'm really here for. Okay. All right. So I'll just follow and see what happens. So anyhow, the meditation retreat, the subject I think of it was, I think it was called something piercing into the absolute or something like this. I don't even remember the name exactly. So I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to do that on my own. I have no idea what that means, but what I'll do is I'll raise my vibrational level and see what happens. So one day I went into this meditation and I really thought I was going to be in there for, you know, like half an hour, like, you know, a normal meditation or whatever. But that day something was different. And I knew my intention before going into the meditation was like, okay, can I pierce into the absolute on my own? Let's see what happens when I raise my vibration. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Let's find out. So I didn't know it was going to be 9 hours, Sam. But what happened was as I rose in vibrational level, I passed through all these different levels of vibration. So as your listeners know, everything is vibrating, right? And so the rate of vibration determines what that thing is. You know, so if you take water, for example, steam is molecules vibrating really fast. slow vibration down, becomes liquid water, slow that vibration down even more, it becomes solid, right? So this is very basic fundamental of spirituality and understanding of form and matter. But what happened for me is as my vibrational level rose, I could feel myself moving through different layers. So I felt myself moving through layers of consciousness, really. And then I got to a ceiling and I just kind of kept hitting my head against it. And I couldn't go anymore. And I kept trying to move into it, but it wouldn't happen. And then I realized in that moment that I had to surrender. And I had to surrender who I thought I was. Which, you know, sounds, I'm saying it very casually, like, oh, I'll just surrender who I thought I was. But, you know, if you're actually doing that, it's terrifying. Because that means to me, like at that time, it was like, that means all the people I love. It means who I think I am. It means like what I do for my living. It means all these things, right, for us as humans. And I cried and I was terrified and it took me a little bit. And finally, I kind of went into an effort moment where I was just like, okay, I'm just going to do it. I, for the first time truly in my life as a Chinese person, surrender, like for real. And it's not to get something. I just do it and I'm going to see what happens. And so, and I really, it was one of the most scary things I've ever done in my life. Surrender sounds easy, but it's not. For someone who was like me, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And what happened is this huge expansion, okay? And all of a sudden, I felt everythingness, and everything was part of me. And when I breathed the everything. And there was really not really Karen, and everything was vibrating. And I could distinguish what all the vibrations were. I knew what everything was. I stopped seeking. I'd been seeking for 25 plus years at that point. But all of a sudden, I didn't need anything anymore. I was just like, it's complete. I'm complete. It's complete. Everything is, I just was in it. And at some point, because I could distinguish frequencies and I understood that, I mean, I'm saying understood as if I understood with my mind. I didn't. I just knew. What happened eventually is that my resonance dropped and I came back into my body and my awareness of myself in this little room in Sedona. I noticed that the light was different and I looked at the clock and it had been 9 hours. And I was like, whoa. And then so after that meditation, everything changed because first of all, I could perceive the illusion. So everything, I was like, everything is this really thin skin of this illusion, which is amazing and wonderful and glorious and intricate and so like divinely orchestrated. And it was like, you know, again, like we're referencing the Matrix for some reason a lot today, but you know, he can put his hands through something, you know, it's like he puts his hand through the mirror or whatever. And was like, wah. It kind of felt like that. I was like, I can perceive beyond the illusion. I can perceive the illusion. I can perceive, it was the wildest thing. So I'd walk around, hike around in Sedona, perceiving the illusion and playing with raising my resonance so that I could do different things. And then oddly, Sam, this is, you know, how the universe works, kind of kicks you in the butt sometimes. Mm-hmm. This friend who I hadn't seen in years, before I went to Sedona, I had happened to have lunch with her. And she was like, I said to her, I feel like we need to see each other again. And I don't know why. And she's like, well, I'm leaving for Sedona tomorrow. I'm like, oh, that's so weird. I'm leaving in about a week. And it turned out we were overlapping for 12 hours in Sedona. Wow. So she came to see me. Okay, this is very weird how this happened. So I wasn't planning to see anyone in Sedona other than the people in the retreat that I didn't go to. She shows up in my little studio apartment Airbnb and we start talking and I'm looking at her. She's like, she's telling me about some problems she's having. And I'm like, do you need help with that? And she's like, sure. And I said, okay, well, I'm just going to explain to you what's happening and I'm going to just release that for you. And she kind of looked at me, and because we have this history together where we met in a spiritual context, she was like, okay. And so I did, and she was the first person I ever worked on. And it was funny because a week later, all of a sudden, her friends started texting me. They're like, hey, I'm friends with so-and-so. You worked with her in Sedona? who are you people? So just started, I didn't ask for them.
Right.
She just started talking to her friends, and they started calling me, basically. And that's how it all began. I did not, Sam, put out a shingle. Mm-hmm. I was not planning for them to text me, but that's how it began, honestly. I didn't exactly try. That's what happened.
How many years ago was this?
This was in 2000, oh my gosh, I don't remember time very well, 8, 18, I would say. 2018? Yeah.
Okay, so
Beginning
about
of
2 years
2018.
ago.
Yeah. Feels like ages ago, but yes.
Yes, like another lifetime, right?
Yeah, many lifetimes ago. Yeah.
Many lifetimes. Yes, I know that feeling well.
Yeah.
Wow. So even though you had learned about this frequency stuff when you worked with her, this wasn't based on that frequency work. It was just sort of the inspiration from what you had just experienced in this meditation, or was it based on that frequency work?
Yeah. So frequency work is kind of this loose term, and it's not something that's taught, right? You have to be of a high enough resonance in order to be able to perceive at the level of frequency. So let me back up a little. So like I mentioned about water, right? It has to do with like the rate of vibration. So if you take the rate of vibration, if you take that same example, right, and you extrapolate to a very, very highly resonating consciousness, right, which is whatever you want to call it, pure source, the divine, the oneness, whatever. In order to have something other than the oneness, there needs to be a drop in vibration. So meaning for the oneness to be aware of something of itself as separate, there needs to be a drop in vibration. So at that point, frequencies are created. And when the vibration of that slows down, it creates energy. And when the vibration of that slows down even more, it creates form or matter, or even like your thoughts and emotions. So to me, everything starts at the level of frequency. We always think that we have to do things on the physical level and things on the spirit level will change. It's actually the inverse. The higher level vibrating order is the thing that dictates everything. So if you change things at the level of frequency, the physical will reorganize around it. You know, it's like, you know, that famous quote, I can't remember who said it, maybe it's attributed to Einstein, but I don't know if it's true. It's like, you can't solve the problem at the same
level of thinking. Yeah.
Thinking that it originated from or something like this. Yeah.
Right.
So he's talking about vibration. And so, in order to be able to perceive at the level of frequencies and be able to change things at the level of frequency, you have to be resonating high enough. And so for what happened to me was I'd been receiving frequency work. And then what happened is my vibration got high enough that in that meditation that I was able to recognize that I'm able to make change at that level. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's essentially what happened. And I'm not like particularly special. We can all do this. It's just a matter of your resonance, right? So how high is your resonance? And when you're, and because to me, that dictates everything from what your life looks like, what you get to experience, how much abundance you have, how much change you can experience. All that stuff is very dependent on how high your resonance is. So that to me is the baseline of everything.
Wow. Yeah. Totally get it. So these people just started showing up. You started working on them. When did you like make the conscious decision of like, oh, I can really help people with this. I should just start doing this more.
When I couldn't manage them in my regular scheduling, I was like, I don't have time to like schedule you and I have my real estate business and I can't do it. So I guess I better throw up a scheduler and see what happens. So that started, I created my first website in April of 2018 and that's when it began, basically.
Wow. And did it take over the real estate business? Like, did you stop doing real estate or you're still doing both?
Oh, no. Definitely not doing both. So we felt the calling to move to Hawaii in 2019. And, you know, I was doing part-time for a little bit because I was just like, God, I have this real estate practice. I don't need to. It was very hard, actually. I was working all really long hours. And I finally, in 2019, when we moved to Hawaii, Chris and I were like, okay, we're giving ourselves a year. We're taking a quote-unquote sabbatical from our real estate business. Mm-hmm. And we are going to give it a shot. So we moved to Hawaii. And I moved full-time into Spherical Luminosity, which is the company that we founded, and under which we provide a lot of tools to help people ascend, basically, and to experience more abundance, to move forward in their relationships, to have more fulfillment in their careers or whatever it is they're looking for. And that started in February of 2019, and we haven't looked back. So that's what's happened.
Yeah. So you're still in Hawaii, eh?
No, actually, we moved recently to San Miguel de Allende in Mexico. So
okay, here right, we are. Right, San Miguel, yes, because we had that conversation.
Ah, yeah.
Wonderful.
Jeez, yeah.
I wish I knew you when I was there. It would have been great to meet you down there.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yes, totally. And we definitely have to find a way to connect sometime. All right, we got to take our last break of the show. When we come back, let's talk about... like you know, how you work with people now, what they can expect, how can they get in touch with you, all that good stuff. Okay.
Sounds great.
We just got about, you know, 10 minutes left of the show, so we'll make the most of it. Okay, Karen?
Sounds great.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back to wrap it all up with our guest, Karen Chung, in just a moment.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Karen, I'm wondering if for our audience, you can maybe just describe a little bit of, like, what does a session look like with you? And then if there's maybe we can give people a little bit of taste of, like, what can, you know, people listening today do to raise their frequency?
Sure. So, you know, I do give individual sessions, but I feel like the real power of the work that we give is when you join a group session. So we call them group frequency calibrations, and they show up in different ways. I mean, I give a whole bunch of different workshops, and I give different group frequency calibrations and certain themes. And the thing is, and I think in our culture right now, there's an emphasis on the individual, you know, because we want to, like, have our problems solved, obviously, right? I mean, we want to have these things that we have that are concerns for us to be released. And that is important. And what I will say is, when you join a mastermind, which is, you know, no one's talking, it's like you all get on a call and are in the resonance of the frequency work, and we're starting to work on a particular theme, it's because we are all one. You would be surprised how many emails we receive from people saying, I know that there were tons of people on that call, but it sounded like Karen was talking exactly just to me. Because what we're doing is we're releasing the distortions that you hold in common. And the wonderful thing about working in a mastermind is that you have the momentum of a mastermind. So, you know, people have different strengths and weaknesses. They get stuck in different places than you do. So with that momentum, you really get to start to release your distortion patterns more quickly sometimes than you can on your own. So like the individual frequency calibrations, which are, you know, given over, you know, audio Zoom, are good for like specific little tweaks that you want to do. But the people who get the most acceleration I found are the people who do both, really. You know, they do like sometimes a one-off, like individual one, but they do mostly the group stuff. That is where they see the most change. And of course, we do everything from, you know, a live online workshops all the way through to live events. But you can sort of check out our website to get a taste of what that is, and that's sphericalluminosity.com. But so the experience would be, it sounds like a lot like a guided meditation, right? That's really what it is. But what's happening is, as you're, you know, paying attention to whatever it is that I'm suggesting that you pay attention to, I'm releasing at the frequency level the distortion pattern that you're holding that keeps you stuck in a certain kind of experience. And it is important.
Oops.
And after that, because you have free will and you are, as you say, a conscious co-creator and are sovereign and are co-creating your reality, it is important as that you consciously, when that distortion pattern shows up in your life, for you to get rid of, there's a five-step process that I have to release that distortion pattern out of your field. And the reason you're doing that is to acknowledge consciously that you are co-creating your reality and that you have the authority to release on the heavier, denser levels of the physical, mental, emotional, to release that distortion pattern. Because I've done it at the level of the field, right? Mm-hmm. So it's there. So you just have to like release the last, like, I don't know, 3 to 5%. Mm. But it requires your free will and your conscious participation to do it, because it's your journey, not mine. And it's for you to, you know, to understand your authority as co-creator. So that's a very important part of the process.
Lost
so that's kind of what you can expect.
Oh, maybe
is
me.
It back? Is
Sorry?
It working?
Go ahead.
Did it work? Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I cut out there. But
releasing your density.
Yeah. So if you have to, so releasing all of these distortion patterns and being consciously aware of it and using your free will to do it is a very important part of the process, because it's your journey. And it's important for us in our awakening process to understand the authority that we have to co-create our reality, which I know, Sam, is like what you're doing with this whole mm-hmm. podcast. And so for people to really recognize it, it's a fundamental part of the process.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of taking that ownership that we're creating.
Yeah.
Life and sometimes kind of just getting over that thing of that victimization mindset to that creator
exactly.
mindset is the hardest part, because lots of times there are things in our life we don't want to take credit for that we're creating.
Yeah. So
to acknowledge that we're creators means, oh, you mean I got to take responsibility for all that not so good stuff in my life?
Exactly. It's the good stuff and the not so good stuff. And to become conscious about it, as you keep saying, as opposed to being unconscious, because you're co-creating no matter what. So it's, I personally feel, being who I am, that it's better to do it consciously.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah.
you're broadcasting a certain frequency out into the universe, and your life is a reflection of that resonance, of that broadcast. So the more that you can clarify by releasing your distortion, the higher your vibration, the clearer what you are broadcasting is. And so that's when you get to enjoy more of that, you know, synchronistic, flowy, abundant stuff that seems like, you know, pseudo-awakens babble. But actually, when it happens in your life, you almost have to pinch yourself. Like, you have no idea how many emails I receive saying, I literally feel like I have to pinch myself. Like, I just had clients, for example, they started with me about 8 weeks ago. They were doing a whole bunch of different group frequency calibrations because they wanted to increase their business. 8 weeks later, increased their business by 60%. Okay, they're chiropractors.
Wow.
What changed? You know, so did they get unstuck and start to do with different things in their practice? Yes, of course. I mean, you have to do some physical things to make change. And what happened was the entire, what they were broadcasting, who they are being, how they are in the world has totally shifted. So there are countless stories of this, you know, like relationships completely changing and, you know, people moving into the collaborations that they wouldn't have expected, all because the resonance that they are is different. So who they're attracted to and who is attracted to them totally changes. I mean, you know this, right? So
yes.
This is an amazing thing that happens when you can release, like, as you said, the density of your distortion. You as being don't really want it, unless, I mean, most of us don't like the heaviness. We don't like suffering. We don't like unpleasantness. We would prefer to experience something way better. So when you start to release the distortion patterns, you pick up momentum. It feels good. And so people who start releasing their distortion pattern, it becomes kind of fun, because as opposed to something that emburdens you and you feel victim to, you start to realize, wait a minute, I can change this, and therefore my life can change. And it's such an incredibly empowering feeling. And yes, Karen helps, but it's not about me. It's about you knowing that you can do it, that you are actually empowered to do it. And I'm really very skeptical of and dislike that whole guru thing. You know, it's like someone expects you to wave your magic wand over me and then I'm awake and all this stuff's going to happen. No, you can do it. You know, there's that saying, like, you are your own guru, you know, but really you are co-creating. That is the joy of the co-creation process. You get to have it. And so I think it's such a wonderful thing at this time that we are starting to claim. and for people like you to start to spread this message of, like, you are co-creating. That's amazing. And no one else can do it for you because it's your life and your journey and your path. And that's a kind of a scary thing for some people. Mm-hmm. And it's also incredibly empowering.
One last question. We really have to end it there. Is there anything people need to be careful of? Like, can they get too awakened too quickly?
No, because, well, not if they're doing, I'm sure they can. Okay, to answer your question, I'm sure they can. But using frequency, no. Work, no. Because what happens is they internally strengthen. And so you become really aware of your thoughts and emotions. It's just your thoughts and emotion. You become aware of yourself as what I call the big S self, or as infinite indestructible consciousness. So I haven't seen it happen because it's a very centered practice. And Right. So it's expansive and centered at the same time.
Great. Yes. So it has that grounded component to it. Because I've talked to many people who've had like these Kundalini awakenings, and then they were like a hot mess for months after, because they didn't know how to handle it. So this is actually different than that, though.
Very different.
There's that old expression that the branches of the tree can only grow as high as the roots grow deep. So that you're making sure that the roots are deep, so then the branches can grow high and they can hold sort of these high frequencies without getting knocked off.
Exactly. Yes. To me, expansion without stability only leads to crash and burn. That is not what we're here to do.
Exactly. I'm so, so glad you said that. Karen, I could talk with you for hours and hours. I can't wait to experience one of your groups. One more time, if people want to learn more about you, get in touch with you, learn about your work, where do they go?
They go to sphericalluminosity.com. That's with two L's, sphericalluminosity.com. And if you want a free workshop on quieting your mind, go to quietingyourmind.com.
Ah, okay. We'll make sure to have that in the show notes as well, quietingyourmind.com. Beautiful. Yeah. All right, Karen, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule for coming on my show today. It's been a pleasure having you. I wish you, you know, all the success to keep spreading this work, because I know this is something that's very timely and very needed in the world today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Sam. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, especially Patty. I'm sorry, Patty, I didn't recognize that you'd commented in the comments before. Thank you for being with us. Because without you, my loyal listeners, there is no show. And of course, if you missed any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc, as well as on all the podcasting platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find the Conscious Consultant Hour. Thank you all for tuning in this week. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health. And each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.